Welcome to the Army Resilience Roundup podcast. I am your host, Lataria Walker. The Army can be a tough profession. Mix in additional responsibilities like leading troops, attending college, maintaining a home, parenting, keeping up with finances, basically living life. How can we successfully manage everything? How can we not just cope, but learn, grow, and thrive? Resilience. That's it. Resilience is the ability to persevere, adapt, and grow in dynamic or stressful environments. Resilience encompasses internal motivation, persistence, and how soldiers revitalize, recover, and adapt in order to respond constructively to challenges in their daily lives. Training and education empowers leaders and soldiers to demonstrate resilience. When individuals gain experience in applying these skills, it enables cohesive team building and drives readiness. The Army Resilience Roundup podcast is a place where you can find resources that will help you maintain your resilience. You are resilient. Well, hello, listeners. Welcome to the Army Resilience Roundup podcast, episode one. I am Lataria Walker, your podcast host for today. Our topic for today is building blocks of integrated prevention, how data informs efforts. We will be discussing the Integrated Prevention Advisory Group, also known as IPAG. This is the Army's new primary prevention workforce, whose primary objective is to build the service's integrated prevention system. Today, our guests are Ms. Renee Johnson and Dr. Stephanie Hall. Ladies, thank you for joining us today. Let's start with Ms. Renee Johnson. Ms. Renee, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Ms. Walker, and thank you, Army team, for having us today. We are incredibly excited to be here. Ms. Walker, I am an Army spouse, Army mom. My spouse has been in the Army since 1996, and we come to the Army. I met my spouse when he was at Fort Benning, and now we spent many, many years working out of Fort Bragg. I initially started working with the Army Public Health Center and was placed at Fort Bragg there with the 18th Airborne Corps and many other amazing leaders and incredible teammates that provided me with a really great fundamental understanding of the challenges associated with readiness and operations in a time, in a protracted time from 9/11 until now. So really appreciate this opportunity now in my new role at HQDA G1, Army Resilience Directorate, Integrated Prevention Division Deputy, to leverage this knowledge and these experiences working at Fort Bragg, working at Forces Command, head with the Military District of Washington and the Office of the Surgeon General, to inform this new capability and groundbreaking effort that we are doing to establish a dedicated integrated prevention advisory group embedded with our commanders and supporting our commanders and their prevention priorities. Thank you.
Wow, what an impressive career. Thank you for your work and especially your work with the IPAG program. Thank you. Very impressive. Dr. Stephanie Hall, welcome. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I am a prevention integrator within this integrated prevention division. And in this role, I'm able to contribute to the development of this new integrated prevention advisory group and hoping to really expand the capacity for integrated prevention across the enterprise. I have been working with the Army for the last 4 years, similarly to Ms. Johnson, beginning my tenure with the Army, Public Health Center. But I was part of the Behavioral and Social Outcomes Practice Division that worked on a number of issues related to harmful behaviors, and most notably working on the teams to address our epidemiological consultations in response to such issues as suicides, intimate partner violence or domestic violence, and other harmful behaviors. Prior to working with the Army, I actually have over a decade of experience across multiple settings in public health, including community work, academic, and now in the military setting. And a lot of my work has centered on improving resilience and mental health outcomes and actively working to improve the health and well-being through prevention, health education, and working to address social and structural determinants of health. Definitely happy to be here with everyone today and look forward to our discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hall. What another very impressive background. Thank you, ladies, again for accepting the invitation to talk to our listeners today about the IPAC program. Really looking forward to an informative and intriguing discussion. So with that being said, let's get right into it. So tell us, first off, what is the Integrated Prevention Advisory Group, or IPAG?
The Integrated Prevention Advisory Group is the Army's new prevention workforce that is tasked to build up the Army's integrated prevention system and develop the strategies that are employed before an incident or harmful behavior occurs. Our IPAG is solely dedicated to building this integrated prevention system and includes establishing policies and practices that support leaders in their duty to increase protective factors and prevent sexual harassment, sexual assault, including child abuse and domestic abuse or intimate partner violence, self-harm, and workplace violence. Ms. Johnson, would you like to add anything else?
Thank you, Dr. Hall. I would just say the IPAG represents a new capability across the Department of Defense. And this approach is really intended to support leaders as they are faced with competing priorities of time. They're challenged by program effectiveness. What this group is really after is to ensure the most efficient utilization of resources and really help our leaders cultivate the safe and healthy climates across the military community. But I think you gave a great description. Thanks, Dr. Hall.
Very good answer. Sounds like a very needed service and a very needed board. Thank you. My next question, why is the IPAG important? And what is different about this effort from other prevention initiatives the Army has implemented? This is a very good question.
Well, the IPAG is important because it is a dedicated prevention workforce. A lot of the current resources that we have are often having to divide their focus or their time wearing multiple hats. And so our IPAG will be able to kind of help fill in some of those gaps, especially in time commitment, to focus on addressing a lot of the issues that we have before they happen, and really creating and cultivating a culture and climate that is supportive and provides soldiers with the skills and resources so that they do not have to experience the trauma related to various forms of violence. Our integrated primary prevention is going to be addressed by the IPAG by looking at shared risk and protective factors across multiple harmful behaviors through integrated solutions. And so we're kind of building on and adding to what we're currently pushing out in terms of prevention activities for like unique or specific harmful behaviors. And so just to kind of reiterate that, the IPAG will focus on those integrated primary prevention actions that address multiple harmful behaviors at either the individual, interpersonal, community, or organizational levels. And so they're working across, you know, not just working on one person at a time, but kind of really looking at approaches and issues that address multiple people. What distinguishes the IPAG from the other prevention assets is that they will really focus on addressing two or more forms of the harmful behaviors and target the larger groups or populations before the harmful behavior occurs.
Ms. Johnson, did you want to add anything to that? Very great answer, Dr. Hall.
Thanks, Ms. Walker. I think Dr. Hall's answer was amazing. And I would say, you know, she really hit the nail on the head, so to speak, with her description. We are really focused with the IPAG on that upstream primary prevention focus, and as she stated, the integrated approach across the spectrum of harmful behaviors. And, you know, our initial focus for the IPAG is really in order of magnitude toward our soldier population initially, and in specifically our first term soldier population. However, we absolutely agree that integrated upstream primary prevention activities will be inclusive of our family members and our civilian workforce later down the road as we implement more IPAG teammates.
Thank you. Let's move a little bit into the leadership perspective. How important is it to have command buy-in or support regarding the IPAG implementation? And also, how can command support this IPAG initiative?
Command buy-in and support is very much integral to our IPAG implementation. Leadership is a key component of the prevention system. And so command support and leader buy-in is absolutely necessary to ensure that priority and effective execution of our primary prevention efforts. The IPAG is situated to assist commanders, and without their understanding and support of primary prevention, then any efforts that they try to enact may fail, may have poor quality in terms of being implemented, or even continue to lead to poor outcomes. So commanders can provide support by really learning about the primary prevention efforts that we are trying to push, really getting to know and learning about the IPAG teams that they have that are available to support, and really being vocal and visible in their support towards the efforts by the IPAGs. Renee, would you like to add anything else?
Hey, thanks, Dr. Hall. I completely agree. I think, you know, commanders, command sergeant majors, first sergeants, they are our first and most critical stakeholder in the process. We have many stakeholders across the community, but our command teams are our mission essential stakeholder. This is, they are directly responsible for the organizational climate and culture at Echelon. And we see their buy-in to this new capability as mission essential for success. And so we are really working diligently to develop several options for the IPAG teammates out in the community of practice across the Army, tactics, techniques, and procedures to help them nest efforts with their command queue.
Great answer. So it sounds like the IPAG is going to require the leadership to certainly lead from the front to make this initiative very successful. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. So we know that this is a very new program and things change and evolve over time. Tell us how the IPAG, how you're looking to evolve it within the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. I think change and evolution is to be expected with these IPAGs, especially since this is a very new initiative and approach. And so there are going to be like some growing pains, some lessons learned, and we will have the capacity to shift and make sure that, you know, these teams and this work is able to meet the best needs of the Army. The exciting part about the IPAG is that we're really going to be pushing and making sure that we have continuous evaluation efforts. And so we can, you know, actively monitor and identify those things that are working well or those things that are not working well and make adjustments as we go along. And while we're currently in the initial stages, this effort and these teams will continue to grow over the next full years. And so I think within the next 4 to 5 fiscal years, we should be able to run at full capacity and expect to have more established substantial processes, guidance, and policies that ensure that primary prevention and the IPAG are institutionalized. And then where possible, we expect to have a more updated and more robust data systems that will be able to include more upstream factors or indicators of primary prevention and not just really monitoring for our current risks or incidents. And then we expect that more and more decisions on prevention efforts will be driven by this available data and tailored to meet the identified needs of each installation and using evidence-based methods.
Great answer. So do you think all harmful behaviors will just decrease substantially or just completely go away with the implementation of the IPAG program?
That would be a wonderful goal, but this is definitely a moving target. A moving task, and we can't really expect to see any like immediate changes or a full decrease completely. Like that's not necessarily realistic, but establishing the infrastructure Army-wide and wrapping up our primary prevention capability is going to take time. And so these long-term impacts that we want to see are definitely not going to happen immediately. But if we allow the system to work as it's intended and are patient and are able to let these things run time, we'll definitely be able to see some real decreases in the problems that we're currently seeing and really able to see some benefits over time. Renee, would you like to add to that?
Thanks, Dr. Hall. I think that was a fantastic answer. And I would only add that, you know, certainly this capability represents a decisive shift for the Army enterprise and the approach. And as Dr. Hall eloquently described, it's our greatest ambition that harmful behaviors would go away. However, we know from data over the last decade and longer that, and we also know from our ever-moving, ever-changing population demographic, always moving around CONUS and OCONUS, the world of the Army, that this is going to take time to build out across the enterprise. You know, our phase one is really focused on, as Dr. Hall stated, those public health principles, approaching these harmful behaviors in this context to reduce the prevalence of these harmful behaviors over time, and really focused on the groundwork to create the systems and the structure to implement these data-driven and evidence-based practices and activities, and updating policy at the highest level and at the lowest level of this. Thank you.
Great answer. Thank you, Ms. Renee Johnson. So what is the IPAC's plan to measure the success of this initiative?
Let's say we're still working out some details on like the on-the-ground measurement, but success would really look like a well-coordinated integrated prevention system. It's fully staffed with knowledgeable and dedicated prevention workforce that is supported by commands. There are collaborative relationships with other prevention and response resources like SHARP and FAP. And integrated prevention workforce members across the branches. We will definitely be pushing out or see a lot more evidence-based programs and practices that are implemented with fidelity. And we're engaging in continuous, robust, comprehensive evaluation that's conducted on the prevention work that will measure like the effectiveness of these actions, identifies which efforts are promising or need to be discontinued. And ultimately, we would see improvements in the climate and culture across the enterprise, increased trust, resilience, and readiness, and improved outcomes related to harmful behaviors, and an overall lower incidence and prevalence of harmful behaviors across the Army. Renee, would you like to add anything else?
Thanks, Dr. Hall. I think that was a fantastic answer. And I just want to add that we are fully committed to, in accordance with our senior leader guidance, to deeply evaluate each phase of the Integrated Prevention Advisory Group workforce as it's implemented, and to capture these in stride lessons learned, if you will, as we continue into phase two and plan for phase three of implementation. So we are fully and deeply committed to robust evaluation, but also in stride understanding of, you know, through rigorous feedback from our stakeholders, which include our command partners and our commands out at the post camps and stations of the phase one locations. Thank you.
Great. It sounds like the IPAG is certainly a well thought out initiative that's bound for success. So that's wonderful to hear. Tell us who will benefit the most from the IPAG workforce.
That's a hard question. Our IPAG is available to assist the leaders, and it should benefit the entire command, all the soldiers, the family members, and ultimately the civilians as well. And through this more integrated approach, Again, will aid in eliminating those redundancies and increase communication between programs to benefit the entire Army community. So with the presence of this IPAG workforce, there should be like an overall benefit across the Army enterprise. And I guess most aspects, the ability to push out programs to meet the needs of soldiers and their families, to gain information and help commanders make decisions, and I guess to really increase our capacity to do the most effective work, both towards prevention that then feeds into everything else that everyone has to do. Renee?
Thanks, Dr. Hall. I think that was a fantastic description. And I will say that the IPAG is also poised to be able to provide and connect with our stakeholders across the communities to assist commanders with pulling in the right helping agencies, programs, and services to the right organization at the right time based on the mission, based on the data, and based on the needs of the organization. And so that may be life skills training for one group inside our Army population. That might be parenting skills for another group. That might be stress reduction skills. And as Dr. Hall mentioned in her opening comments and earlier, and you know, in a first or second question, the aspect of integrating across providing this tailored and targeted training and activities to address multiple harmful behaviors at the same time. So I really agree, Stephanie. I think it's everyone. And of course, understanding that we will start by prioritizing our soldier population first. Thank you.
Great answer. Thank you. Thank you for that. So on a more personal note, Dr. Hall, would you like to describe your past military work experience and how those experiences complement your new role in IPAG? Or what drew you to this position that you're currently in now?
Sure. I think I could probably touch on a little bit of both. But being a member of the field team and the Behavior and Social Outcomes Practice Division, and being a part of the epidemiological consultations where we would head to installations and talk to soldiers and focus groups and interviews and